say hello and welcome. Thank you for joining First Responder Psychological Support. My name is Sarah Gura. I'm a licensed clinical professional counselor in Burrage, Illinois at the Self-Care Path, where I treat first responders. And this is season 3, episode 6 with Nate Carroll. Nate, do you want to introduce yourself and this topic, and we'll jump right in and get started?
Yeah, so my name is Nate Carroll, and currently I'm trying to break the world record for the most push-ups in 365 days to raise money for the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, which supports families of our fallen first responders when they die in the line of duty and they leave behind a family with young children.
Amazing. I'm excited to get through some questions. We kind of decided ahead of time what we would be talking about so that everyone can understand this mission that you're on. So tell me about how you mentally prepare yourself for something that seems physically impossible to me and maybe many other people.
So it's a lot of preparation. So trying to break the world record, it breaks down to I have to average 4,111 push-ups every day for 365 days. So it's a big number, it's a big commitment, but I've spent years kind of preparing and training my body and my mind. And so once this challenge started back in June, I felt that physically I was able to do it, and mentally I thought I would be able to accomplish it. And so I gave it a shot, and the record started on June 14th of 2020, and I got just about 45 days left. So it's a lot of daily planning, daily balancing between working full-time, being a father, and just trying to have some degree of life outside of doing push-ups. So it takes a lot of balance. So it's just a lot of preparing.
Very good. How about, why are you calling this a push-through challenge? Why is that?
Well, obviously it's connected to the push-up exercise. And I think push-through for me, there's a lot of kind of, you know, meaning to that. It's the ability to push through challenges, be able to push through obstacles in our way. I mean, for many of us, we have challenges in our life or situations don't work out, and we have to find the strength to kind of mentally endure them. And for me, the push-up has always been an exercise that's been meaningful to me because it's something that I can do with no equipment, and it takes away a lot of excuse because I can do it anywhere. It's pretty mobile, and it's me against me. So I don't have a lot of excuses not to do it, and I kind of like that challenge. So it kind of holds me accountable to what it is that I want to do.
Is there anything else that's really significant about the push-up, like the metaphor? I know you're kind of talking about that now, but anything more that you can speak on with regard to that?
Sure. It touches on a lot of things. So obviously why I'm doing what I'm doing, it's to support the families of fallen first responders. And so whether if a police officer, a firefighter, an EMT is killed in the line of duty and leave behind young children, the foundation, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation that I'm raising money for, steps in, pays off that mortgage, and secures that family's financial stability with respect to the mortgage. And it allows the family to stay in the home where those young children made the memories with their mom or dad who was killed in the line of duty. So, you know, push through for me, obviously, doing push-ups, but I think it's symbolic to what the families of those fallen first responders have to go through. They have to, you know, adapt to a new normal without their mom or dad. And it requires a lot of pushing through. I mean, they have to overcome a lot of obstacles with that. In addition to first responders in general, they have a tough job. And right now, it doesn't seem that there's a lot of mainstream media support of what they're doing, their efforts. And yet they're still required to answer the call and to respond when it's needed. And I think for me, hopefully I can, you know, make a little bit of an impact on them, which gives them the ability to kind of endure and push through the challenges that are, you know, kind of what our country's facing currently. So, and to let them know that everyday citizens appreciate the work that they do and are aware of the sacrifice that they make and that it's important. And I do what I can to support them. And hopefully it could encourage somebody else to do something for them, for first responders, for them as well.
That answer definitely pulls on my heartstrings because sometimes in the face of media or in competing maybe with media, I definitely see the need to acknowledge what first responders are going through. And there is a lot of human illness, human death, human suffering, human stupidity, property destruction that they are forced to face, right? And we could also say that they choose that career and choose to face it, but then we have to provide the psychological support in order for them to keep going in a 20 plus year long career, because they're answering everyone else's bad day or everyone else's trauma. So I'm just going to say thank you for saying that.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, I think many times these men and women meet people on their worst day, and they meet people who are having really bad days. And do they wear the badge? Yes. Are they police officers and firefighters and EMTs? Yes. But they're also moms and dads. They're no different than you or I. They have families, they have responsibility, they're coaches. And just because you put that uniform on doesn't make them Superman or Superwoman. They are people. And I think the toll of meeting people on their worst day and not feeling supported certainly has an impact on their mental health and obviously their families and their communities as well. So I just think any opportunity that everyday citizens such as myself have to acknowledge that and say thank you, I do believe it makes a little bit of a difference in that officer's day or that firefighter's day that day.
Being valued and appreciated is wonderful for sure. But I also wanted to ask, you know, speaking of like Superman here, what role does visualization play in this challenge for you to keep going like a Superman?
Well, I'm not Superman. I'm far from that. I'm just an ordinary guy doing push-ups in his pajamas in his living room typically. So there's nothing too glorious about it. But the role of visualization for me is key. It's so important to me because for me, I focus a challenge such as this, doing 4,000 plus push-ups a day. Yeah, there's a lot of factors that I can't control. And if I spend my time focusing on them, I'm not going to be able to accomplish the goal that I have for that day. So my visualization is kind of keyed in towards what are the things that I can control. You know, I can control my effort. I can control my day as well as I can with respect to being a father and working full time. And all the elements that I can control, that's what I focus on. And I don't focus too far ahead because if I find myself thinking too far in the future, it gets a little bit overwhelming and I can't really control that aspect of it. So my visualization is, you know, I get up in the morning and I kind of think about what it is that, you know, what are my next moves? What do I have to do next? And then I kind of plan accordingly. And I do that throughout the day. And when I get to the end of the day, I'll lay down in bed and I kind of visualize kind of, well, how did the day go? What worked? What didn't work? How did my body feel? And what does tomorrow look like? And I've just kind of repeated that pattern over and over for the last 300 and some days. And so far, I've been successful in kind of navigating this this challenge because it is challenging.
It is. It has to be. It sounds like it. And using that present day focus or that present moment focus is, of course, one of the best things we can tell anybody to do, right? Sure. You make that plan and then you stay in the moment and stick with it. Tell me what you have. Oh, go ahead.
The other thing, too, that as far as like visualization and kind of things that are always on my mind and kind of in my awareness is, you know, what my challenge is, as difficult as it may be, is very small in comparison to what our first responders' challenges are. Like I said, I'm in my living room in my pajamas and my shorts doing push-ups. Like the threat of doing that is very, very low. I mean, there's likely not much that's going to happen to me. The reality of what our police officers and firefighters face every day, those are real challenges. Those are real obstacles. And so I'm always aware that my struggles are very small in comparison to what they face. And just this morning I was watching the news and the police officer from New York, who was hit by a drunk driver and killed, his family is now obviously without him. And he left behind a 6-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old or 3-year-old son. And those are real problems. Those are real challenges. And so I think about the families that this foundation steps in. And that officer from New York, the foundation just announced today that they're going to pay off that family mortgage and keep those kids in that house. So I keep that in my awareness throughout the day, and I visualize those challenges compared to my challenges, and it really helps me kind of, you know, endure whatever difficulty that I have to endure, you know, throughout the day.
That kind of leads me right to that next question of, tell me what you can learn about yourself in this challenge. I mean, you're hinting at it, but are there other things that you're learning about you from doing this?
Well, I'm learning that, life is a never ending journey of learning. So I've learned many things in 45 years that I can accomplish physically and mentally. And a lot of it's because I've screwed things up royally and I've learned from that. But what I've really learned and what I hope to pass on to my children is we look at big goals. We look at things that look impossible, and we break them down into very small, manageable pieces or chunks. And we add those chunks up, and hopefully, you know, throughout the day, it adds up to a success that day. And then you add that day to the next day, and you get 2 days of success. So this whole endeavor, in addition to supporting the families of fallen first responders through the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, is a template for my children. They're 14, they're 12, and 10. And, you know, their dreams and aspirations are likely going to be different than mine. I hope they are. I don't want them to, you know, make the same mistakes I've made. But I want them to look at what Dad did and what it took to break down a goal that looked impossible. And, I mean, I'm on the verge of completing it, and hopefully I can. But that they can use that as a template for their success. So when they're 20 years old or my age or whatever it is, that they can look back and say, man, you know, like, if Dad can do 4,000 push-ups a day, I think I can study for this test. Or, you know, if Dad could do that every day for a year, I think I can get up and you know, make a stronger commitment to my marriage. Because it's about passing on. In addition to that, I hope that they recognize that they're part of something bigger. They're, you know, kids, I think, as we both probably know, you know, are by nature a little self-centered and don't recognize how people that, you know, are outside of their peripheral vision impact them. But I hope that they recognize the importance of service and that they recognize the importance of police officers and firefighters and our military, and that maybe they choose to serve in whatever capacity that they do. But I hope that they know that because of those people who are willing to sacrifice their lives for us, it gives me the opportunity to do push-ups and someday my kids the opportunity to pursue their dreams.
I love that. It's a beautiful explanation. And so I'm going to take it like another way and be like, are you nuts though? Like, you did like this huge mile, you know, what was it? 31 mile run or something, and 5,000 push-ups.
Like, the simple answer is yes, I am crazy, I think.
That, like, any, you know, kind of sense of like, holy cow, like this is getting crazy, or it has been crazy for you?
It has been crazy. Yeah, you referenced, so in October, I did a 31 mile trail run, and while I did the trail run, I decided to do a few push-ups. And so by the end of the 31 miles, I completed 5,000 push-ups, all under 10 hours. So I completed 31 miles plus 5,000 push-ups. And, you know, again, like, that's another example of like, I guess, and I'm a very humble person. So like, when I talk about things that I've accomplished, it's not, I'm not trying to be like bragging or anything, but I, you know, you look at something that's like, that's insane. That's crazy. And, I was able to accomplish that. So it gives me the perspective necessary to look at something else today down the road and say, well, man, if I could endure that, why can't I do this? So it's the neat thing about life is you can continue to learn and build and gain a perspective that's helpful to make you a better, more polished person. And, you know, I don't think I'll ever be there, but I hope that through some of these crazy physical challenges that I've done, that, you know, it prepares me for maybe something bigger. And it doesn't have to be physical, but, you know, maybe just being, you know, somebody who's in the right place at the right time. You know, maybe all this puts me at the right place at the right time, you know, to say thank you to that officer that maybe is thinking about checking out or, you know, calling it a career. So I think about the ripple effect of what I do and how it builds. And I never know where it's going to lead me, but hopefully it's going to put me in a position to make a difference in somebody's life. And maybe I'll never know that I did that, but they'll know. And that's what's important.
So now you're really hinting into this mental health part, which, what is the connection between what you do and the mental health of first responders? Can you speak more about that?
Yeah, so it's a lot. I mean, I think it's, to me, we talked a little bit off camera about it too. The importance for me to make an impact on our first responders is because, in my view, they're like your parents. I mean, and they're there to protect you. They're there to be there when you're in trouble. And I think that if I can make a difference in somebody's life, if I can validate somebody's day and I can acknowledge the work that they did, you know, maybe it makes them feel a little bit better that day. You know, maybe it validates that long shift that they just had last night. And it maybe inspires them that, you know, what I am doing, it is making a difference and people do notice. And when they get that call, they're going to be a little bit more likely to get there. And I just, to me, I think the big picture is, especially being a parent, you know, I talk to my kids all the time about being safe, and my job as your dad is to protect you and instill in you the qualities that protect yourself. But I can't be there all the time, and I can't put them in a bubble and make them safe. So I have to let them float off and become young adults. And one day, it might be a police officer that comes to their rescue, you know, somebody that never met them, and maybe I've never met them, but somebody is going to maybe intervene and save their life. And I just think that that's what I think about. And I think when I first started this challenge, I don't know if it was necessary, you know, or kind of this awareness of law enforcement, it was, you know, probably involving a school shooting or something. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I can't be there. I mean, my kids are in school. I can't be there. And if something terrible happens, I mean, these brave men and women are rushing to that school to stop the threat, to stop the, you know, the carnage. And I just think that, man, it's my responsibility to say thank you and to acknowledge the work that they do and acknowledge the likelihood that maybe that person's going to save my kid's life or somebody else's kid's life. And so I just, to me, it continues to build, but it's just this kind of this drive to thank as many police officers as I can and firefighters as possible and just acknowledge the work they do, because I know that when I feel validated, when I feel acknowledged and somebody says, you know, gee, Nate, you're doing a good job, you know, it makes that crappy stuff worth it. It makes that sacrifice a little bit more worth it. You know, if nobody cares or nobody gives a crap, well, you know, then what's the sense? So my hope is to make that impression on the next officer that I have the privilege of having a conversation with or encountering. And it even happens when I get pulled over for speeding. So
I know as you were talking, I think about some of the chief fire officer classes or the health and safety officer classes that I've taught. And we talk about leadership and we address that very much so, that a thank you doesn't have to be budgeted. That's something we can add right in there to help people feel valued and appreciated for giving us their talent and their skill and for showing up in places where we run away from. So
absolutely. I mean, that to me, I've always thought of that, right? I mean, it's something that I always think of now, is that it costs nothing to say thank you. I mean, it's a simple gesture that doesn't require much. I mean, I'll have people to ask me, like, well, you know, you're doing this really cool thing, and like, how do I do something like that? And I just say, well, I don't know. I mean, I just do what I do, but you can just say thank you. I mean, you can, the next cop you see or the next firefighter you see, you know, or whoever, thank you. I mean, it's as simple as that. It's the acknowledgement of the work people do that impact our lives every day. And, you know, and one of the, obviously the past 13 months has been crazy and insane with COVID-19 and the lockdowns. But I think one of the neat things that kind of percolated out of this was the acknowledgement of, like, gee, I should thank a truck driver. Like, I should thank a store clerk. Like, I should acknowledge the person who's, you know, picking up my trash or whatever it is. Like, you know, there was all of a sudden there was this awareness of like all these people that impact our life, likely indirectly, but directly, but that we don't have a lot of contact with. Like if they don't show up for work, like life is going to be challenging for us. Like if no one's at the grocery store, like I guess I'm out in the woods hunting a deer. I mean, I don't know what else I'm going to do. I mean, I got to figure out something. But it was one of these things that came out of this whole lockdown that really highlighted the importance of people serving in your community in a variety of capacities. So that impact our lives.
That's a beautiful point to make too. And if anybody can hear Shadow in the background, he's trying to make his appearance, but I promise he's safe even though he's barking for attention.
Trying to get my cats to get out of here, so hopefully they don't jump on screen. So
he usually just sleeps through, but today he's got something to say. I also wanted to ask about burnout, you know, 20 years of corrections, social work, this push-up thing. Just can you maybe make a comment about burnout and how you address it?
So my real life job is a social worker in corrections. And here's my cat. Get out of here.
That's both of us with our animals.
So my real life job is a social worker in corrections. And I've been doing that for about 20 years, maybe 21 now. And burnout is, I think, a real thing. And it's something I'm experiencing currently. We are just coming out of like a 13-month, 12-month, whatever it's been, lockdown, where, you know, we've been kind of reduced to what we can do, who we can interact with at work, and we've just been kind of, you know, kind of taken out of the picture, so to speak. We still do our job, we still meet with the inmates, but it's been reduced, and it's been tough. I mean, so, like, for me, trying this, a challenge like this gives me purpose. It gives me hope that I'm doing something that's impactful to others. And I think that whether we find that in our employment or our personal life, I think it's important that we have that sense of purpose, because it can help us combat those times in our lives or those aspects of our life where we are feeling burnt out. Because right now, I mean, being in jail for the past 20 years as a social worker, it's been tough. And, you know, I don't know that if I didn't have this to focus on so much, you know, in addition to being a dad, that, you know, I'd have the same kind of mental health that I do now, because it is very taxing. It's been challenging. And I think working in corrections, working with people that have, you know, behaved in a lot of horrendous ways and done things that are, you know, very impactful to communities and the people that read these stories and talk to these people, it would be tough if I didn't have something like this that physically and kind of mentally gave me purpose. So, because it's a real thing. And I would imagine that our first responders feel it too. And it's a real thing. So it's, to me, finding meaning and purpose is 100% essential in combating that burnout, because it does happen. And I don't know, in the field that we work in, we don't always see the success cases. We don't always see the things that we build. You know, like I tell people, like, well, if I built houses, I could drive around a community and say, I built that house. I built that house over there. Or I did this. When we work with people who've, you know, had traumatic lives and done traumatic things, and we kind of were with them for a short while, we don't necessarily always know the impression we make or the impact we make. And they go off and they go back to their lives in the communities, or they go to another institution or another unit, and we kind of lose track of them. And so, you know, sometimes for me, I don't know how it is for you, but sometimes for me, you wonder, like, gosh, is what I'm doing making any impact? And, you know, you have to hope that it does. And one of the things that I say to the guys that I meet with is, you know, a lot of what I do is for people that I'll never meet. And they're like, well, what do you mean you're there for me? And I'm like, well, yeah, kind of. But really, my job, I think, is to help people that never know I exist. So if I can assist you in being a, you know, more productive person or addressing some of the things that maybe you've struggled with, maybe that makes you a better dad. You know, maybe that makes you a better husband. Maybe that makes you a better spouse. So that these people moving forward aren't going to be victimized or hurt or harmed as a result. And those people, they'll never know I exist. And so that's really kind of what keeps me engaged is hoping that maybe those kids that never know I exist are have a better life as a result of something that I do.
I think that's wonderful because you're talking about that ripple effect, right? And it's a positive ripple effect, not a negative one. There's a lot of things, right, that can negatively affect us in our lives, but to say, hey, I want to create this ripple effect to combat even burnout, right? And just knowing that there's some positivity out there is important for us as humans, no doubt. Absolutely. I also wanted to ask your opinion on, can someone who isn't a therapist make an impact on first responder mental health? Again, we're kind of talking about that right now, but what's your message regarding that?
Yeah, I think so. I 100%. I mean, I think I don't care who you are. You can make an impact on anybody. And to me, it's just about, and again, we just briefly touched on it, kind of, there's been really no positive things with COVID-19, let me tell you. But I think one of the things that it really highlighted was the importance of the people in our community, the people that serve us, and our first responders. And so, yes, I think it highlights that these people impact our lives in ways that maybe we never know. And one of the things that I've been thinking about recently is that, so when this challenge ends on June 13th, that's my birthday, I'll turn 46 years old. And I don't know how many days that's been, but I've been thinking, like, you know, for 46 years, there's been a police officer who was probably 2 minutes away throughout the course of my whole life. And I never knew it. I never realized it. And I wasn't aware of it. And now that I think about it, like, you know, so like if there was a situation that, you know, that my parents got themselves in trouble or I got in trouble, there was somebody within minutes from being there to help me out. And I think that, you know, for me moving forward, carrying that awareness around and maybe, you know, inspiring somebody else to kind of think of it that way, I think it really, it helps us to say, you know what, man, how can I not say thank you? You know, how can I not acknowledge the work that these men and women have done? So I don't, when I'm thanking, you know, when I'm talking to police officers or talking to first responders, I don't look at myself as a social worker. I'm just a normal dude that's, you know, that's grateful for what you've done. So anybody can acknowledge what they do. And when you think about, like, the reality that however many years you've been alive, somebody's been there for, you know, 2 minutes away to put themselves in between you and danger, you'll figure out real quickly what you can do to acknowledge what they do and the sacrifice that they make. And I to kind of just wrap that up a little bit, they've all been perfect strangers to me.
Right.
I couldn't tell you the majority of the police officers that were 2 minutes away from me throughout the course of my life, willing to put themselves in between me and danger. You know, so like if I look out the window and a cop drives by, it's like, he's made a difference in my life, potentially. So anybody can do it.
What a great thought to have too, and to keep us in a positive state or a mindful state about first responders in 2020 to 2021. I have one, you know, last question for you, which is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you think we should mention or talk about before we end this podcast? Is there something that you think we should just make sure we say before we're done?
Well, I mean, I guess to me, obviously there's a lot of negativity in the media. There's a lot of negativity in our country towards police officers, and whether it's, you know, bad cops or systemic racism or whatever people want to label it as, I think anytime we group large groups of people and we paint one brush over them that they're this or they're that, I think we're really doing a disservice. So I think it's fair to acknowledge bad apples. I think it's fair to acknowledge shortcomings, and we should address that stuff. But I think the constant drumbeat of that law enforcement, police officers is bad, I think is very dangerous. And I think in our communities, we've probably recognized that because of what's been going on in the past 12, 13 months, there's been an impact. I mean, we've talked about the ripple effect. I mean, so, you know, there's a ripple effect of doing good work. There's a ripple effect of being grateful and appreciative and recognizing the sacrifice that people make. And there's a ripple effect when you're throwing rocks and hitting cops in the face. You know, there's a ripple effect when you're insulting them and when we're not respecting that badge. So I think, I hope that my story is just one. I'm just a simple guy living in Wisconsin. There's nothing spectacular about me. And to me, I choose to look at it like we've talked about, that the impact that they've made on my life, that the reality that one day they're likely going to be intervening in my children's life, if that's ever a situation that you know, calls for it. And I choose to focus on that. And it's not that I'm in denial of bad apples or problems within systems, but I don't think that if we just focus solely on that, we're missing a lot. And I think the ripple effect of that is going to be hurtful for people, hurtful for communities, and hurtful for our country, because I don't think it's fair. And so I'm just going to continue to use my small little platform and my little mouth to say thank you and to try to live an example that maybe somebody else can look to and say, well, you know, if that knucklehead can do this, I think I can do that. And hopefully it makes a difference in somebody's life. And in turn, that police officer is a little sharper that day and is a little quicker to intervene when it's needed.
Yes, I am so thankful that you mentioned that, not only being thankful, but also realizing that you use the word dangerous, to forget that, like, one apple does not ruin the bunch.
It doesn't.
And so being thankful and pushing this view is in a very critical time to, push that we have to look at the things that they do for us and be thankful for that, because without it, I liked your word, it's dangerous.
It is dangerous. There's a ripple effect to everything we do. I mean, every action we have, every inaction we have, there's a ripple effect. And oftentimes we may not necessarily even be aware of how what we're doing or not doing is impacting others. You don't know that, you know, the police officer that pulled over that drunk driver, you know, had that officer not been there, you know, he would have plowed into somebody 5 miles down the road. I mean, we don't know that. You know, we never know that, because that stuff doesn't happen. But I'm a big believer in what we do matters. And, you know, so, you know, if we're spending the bulk of our energy demonizing these men and women in law enforcement, maybe they're not on the road that night. You know, maybe they're just like, whatever, I'm not even going to deal with this because it doesn't pay. And that car speeds down the road and plows into that family. And as a result, they're gone. You know, again, like, you and I will never know the ripple effect like that. But I do believe that that type of stuff does happen.
No, I think that's, again, beautiful points. I can't thank you enough for doing this mission, for sharing it with me, for dealing with Shadow in the background.
Just bring him in here, you know, we have him be part of the show.
There was a couple of times where I'm like, I should just stand up and bring him in here. But
yeah,
like,
yeah, well.
But let me do that. So hold on 1 second, I'll show you that he's safe and he's okay. Because
he's just had a lot to say.
He's okay. What the heck, man? Anyway.
He's like, Mom, what are you doing keeping me in the living room?
I was like, we gotta separate for a minute. Anyway. Thank you again so much for doing this with me. And I'm just gonna remind everybody that I'm Sarah Gura, a licensed clinical professional counselor and dog mom. At the self-care path, and this is the First Responder Psychological Support Podcast. I would like to remind everybody to do life so it doesn't do you, to stay safe, and to take good care, as always. And I have